Romans 15, 1 through 6, I'll be reading from the Modern English Version and expounding from that as we look at this idea that we should bear with one another's weaknesses, seeking to please our brother to the glory of God. Bear with one another's weaknesses, seeking to please your brother to the glory of God. And now we turn to God's Word, and let us give our careful attention, as you have twice already this morning, to the reading of God's precious Word. We who are strong ought to bear with the weaknesses of the weak and not please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the insults of those who insulted you fell on me. For whatever was previously written was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now, may the God of perseverance and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Bear with one another's weaknesses, seeking to please your brother to the glory of God. We who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of the weak and not please ourselves. In this first verse, we see that we should be bearing with one another, that we should be bearing with one another. The Greek here has a couple of different nuances. The first one is, Paul would be saying, tolerate one another. John, you need to tolerate Joel. You say, I'm trying. But even there you see the friction, the competition, the angst that resides in that. There's a sense in life in which we bear with some people. You might have that coworker, that relative, that sibling, that parent that you tolerate. But that's not quite the nuance that Paul is going for here, much as some days we might think that tolerating one another is the sum total of our obedience to Romans 15:1. Lord, I didn't strangle them. Certainly, my reward is awaiting me. This is speaking more of an intentional, positive, upholding, and supporting of one another. That we bear up under, as it were, the weaknesses of the weak. And the question comes, well, who's the strong and who's the weak in this moment? And I want to pause and remind all of us that we should seek to be growing from strength to strength in the Lord. And something that happens in Christ's church is whenever the idea of the weaker brother principle comes into effect, we treat it like 8-year-olds playing tag. And the first one to base wins. And the first one to cry, I'm the weaker brother. I win. You must bend to me now, because I claimed weaker brother first. That's not quite where Scripture is pointing us. We're to be wanting to grow in our strength and our understanding of Scripture and our application of Scripture in our lives. So as we consider who is the strong and who is the weak that Paul is talking of here, John Stott reminds us that this is, well, let me just read what he says. He says, we must not imagine a vulnerable Christian easily overcome by temptation. Sometimes that's what we think of when we think of someone's a weak brother, a weak sister, a weak Christian, like the demons are just cackling around them, frustrating them and leading them astray, and they're dazed and confused all the time and just always on the verge, on the precipice of falling into some great sin that's going to totally derail them. He says that's not what we should imagine, but a sensitive Christian, full of indecision and scruples. What the weak lack is not strength of self-control, but liberty of conscience. See, so sometimes the weaker brother has greater self-control because they have been so hemmed in by scruples and convictions that may or may not be fully biblical, but they're uncertain, and so they do not want to wander far from the path, and so those scruples hem them in, and so they don't participate in a lot of things that they are free to participate in as a child of God, because they're uncertain of the place of it in the Christian life, and so they exhibit many times greater self-control than those who we might consider to be strong. But see, I believe here that there isn't some great clarity where week by week we could say, okay, all the weak brothers and sisters sit on this side of the church, and all the strong ones sit on this side of the church, and every week, in every instance, in every issue, that would be the same group of people. We move back and forth between the category of the weak and strong, sometimes depending on what the issue is, sometimes depending on what the day is, sometimes depending on what the moment is. See, God receives glory and praise for His truth and His mercy because they are the same every day. And I don't need to tell you that you are not the same every day. Do you ever drive yourself nuts on some certain issue or standard? Where do I stand on this? I don't know. Today I stand here. Well, right then I stood there, still today, but now I'm over here on that issue. We are so inconsistent in the face of God's perfection, His unchanging nature. And so this verse is not necessarily saying, well, Joel's always weak on this issue, Noah is always strong. But when it comes, it's at a variance so that we are always to be bearing with one another, with a grand Christ-honoring, gospel-focused sensitivity to how God is working in each of us on these convictions and matters. We are to bear with one another, not just tolerate one another. Lord, I will bear with my brothers and sisters from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. every Lord's day. But then I'm out. Because it's all I can do to tolerate them for that hour and a half. No, we are to uphold. We are to support. This doesn't mean that we don't challenge. It doesn't mean that we don't converse on these matters. But we are to bear with one another. We are to uphold and support one another. Those who are strong need to uphold those who are weak and bear with them and not please ourselves. and not please ourselves. Our bearing with one another reminds us that it's not just us in the room. If you had your druthers, what would Trinity look like? How would she function? What would the ministries be? Well, let's be honest. How would the pastor dress? How would everybody around you dress? How active or how calm would the children be if you had your druthers? But remember, it's not just you in the body of Christ. It's all of us here. We are all together, being strong, being weak, bearing with one another, learning from one another, and we are not to please ourselves. When agendas, sometimes as good and godly as they might be, when agendas become more important than people, we're starting to go astray. We are not to please ourselves. And Paul goes on, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. So secondly, we're to be building up one another. We're to be bearing with one another, but we're also to be building up one another. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Goals are important. As we enter a new year, 2017, can you believe it? It starts to sound like some part of a title to some science fiction movie. I mean, I still remember when we were going to party like it was 1999. We have moved way beyond that, right? Goals are important, and many set new life goals. In fact, one of my best friends said that his wife approached him and said, for 2017, I have two resolutions for you. So some don't even just set life goals for themselves. They set them for the ones that they love. And then the question comes, does a new year really make that big of a difference? Is today really that different from yesterday? Well, we've been given the sun, moon, and stars to mark time, and new beginnings can be a powerful thing in human experience. And so we should take the opportunity when we've made one more trip around the sun to take inventory and to press on in what God has for us. But goals are a good thing. As we live and serve together, the question becomes not, what do I want? What do I desire Trinity to look, act, feel, minister like? But this is what I'm doing, something that can or will serve my neighbor for good and upbuilding. The goal sets the tone. The purpose for the action is driven by Scripture. And how we interact with one another should have the end goal in mind of building one another up. So is it wrong to debate theology? In and of itself, no, it's not wrong. We might consider the time and place that we are doing it. Is it wrong to play devil's advocate? Not in and of itself, but if there are those who are weak in some part of the faith in the room and they are getting confused by the stand that they think someone is taking, it might be time to not play devil's advocate and play loving counselor. The end goal that we are to please our neighbor, that we are to live with them lovingly for their good, leading to edification. Leading to edification. We are to be building one another up. And so we need to be asking, is what I'm doing, is how I'm acting, is what I'm saying, even the way that I am doing it or saying it, does it have the potential to build up my brother or sister in the Lord? And if not, it doesn't mean that the action or the words in and of themselves are wrong, but it might not be the right time. Or it might not be the right way. This is what Paul is calling the Romans to, and us to, is to consider one another, what it takes to build up one another. And thirdly, Paul gives us a benchmark for one another. A benchmark for one another. For even Christ did not please himself. In all of the history of humanity, the one person who had every right to do everything for his own comfort and own good and own prosperity was Jesus Christ. And so often we get caught up in comparing ourselves to one another that we forget to compare ourselves to Christ. Listen, if you want to feel good about your Christian walk, and if it's one of those days where you want to feel bad about your Christian walk, and you know those of you who like to flog yourselves, you know exactly who to compare yourself to. When you know your own weaknesses and you know someone has strengths in a particular area, you know very well where your heart can go if you compare yourselves to them. Oh, they keep house so much better than I do. Well, when you're there, that's all you know. Their family is so put together when they show up for the Lord's Day. We all know the unsanctified behavior that happens by the time those car doors shut to when they open at church. There's blessing, brother, as you get out of the car, but you know that there was cursing, child, right before. We know how to compare ourselves to each other, but we forget that Christ is the standard. And not even Christ pleased himself, but he sought to serve the Father, and to serve us. Who else ever had the right to be all about himself, all about his own needs, his own wants, his own desires? But not even he did this. He is the benchmark. He is the standard. And see, we look to Christ not only for a theological basis of how we should live together, and not just a redemptive story as how we are enabled to live together. We look to him as our example, the ultimate example of self-sacrifice and others-centered living. And Paul here quotes Psalm 69, but as it is written, the insults of those who insulted you fell on me. And here's that verse from Psalm 69 with the couple of verses, 2.5 verses that precede it. Because for your sake I have endured insult. Humiliation has covered my face. I have become estranged to my relatives and a foreigner to my mother's children. For the zeal of your house has consumed me, and the insults of those who insulted you fell on me. As one pastor said, Christ so identified with the name, the will, the cause, and the glory of the Father that the insults intended against God poured down on Christ. How much do you, brothers and sisters, identify with the Lord? Is it something you do, or is it who you are? Does it define and mark your life that you are identified with the name, the will, the cause, and the glory of the Father? It was true of Christ. So in all the imperfect ways that it's true of us, it was perfectly true of Christ. He is our righteousness. And be encouraged. Jesus not only identified with the Father, he also associated himself with sinners, so that we might be given that new identity. Psalm 69, the psalmist talks of his own sin. We read that and we think, well, Christ couldn't say that. Christ wasn't a sinner. No, but he identified with sinners. And he became sin so that we might become righteous. That is who he was. And we hear of all of this starting in the Old Testament. Starting in the Old Testament. And so Paul has no problem dipping back into the Psalms and saying, this is true of Christ. He doesn't go to the Gospels. He goes to the Old Testament, to the Psalms, where every page speaks of Christ, particularly in the Psalter. And so fourthly, we see that we are blessed with one another. Now may the God of perseverance and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a benediction rooted in the secondary means of God's work. This speaks of a specific blessing granted to us as we live in harmony with one another and our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you might do well living with the Lord Jesus Christ, but some of you might be robbing yourselves of a particular blessing that is unavailable to those unwilling to live in harmony with the rest of the body. The Christian faith is not just you and Jesus. It's you and Jesus and everybody else who's with Jesus. And part of the practical outworking of our faith is learning to live in harmony. Learning to live in love. Learning to bear up under the weaknesses of one another. And you can insert here all of the teaching of us being a body together. You cannot live without the rest of the body. And remember, Christ is the head. So if you separate yourself from the body, you are decapitating yourself ultimately. Because you're removing yourself from that connection and fellowship ultimately with the head of the body, Jesus Christ. But see, this benediction, this good word leads to doxology. It leads to praise. Now may the God of perseverance and encouragement, what a great title. The God of perseverance and encouragement. Are you discouraged and feel like you can't take another step? Well, take joy in the fact that you serve the God of perseverance and encouragement. Grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus. Why? Again, what is the goal? What is the end game? What is the result? So that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the best ways to do that is to sing the Psalms together. When we sing the Psalms, we're not just singing songs that somebody thought would be neat or that have a catchy lyric to them. Sometimes the lyrics are hard. You have to work to understand why would I be singing about Og? Why would I be singing about these random people? Why is this important? It takes work. It's hard to sing the Psalms. and to connect those dots. But when we sing the Psalms, we are singing the songs that Jesus sang. We are literally singing with him, and not only with him, but all the saints of the past who have sung the Psalms in worship of God. And so with each psalm, we hear Christ's voice first. Then we hear the voice of all those brothers and sisters who have gone before us. Then we start to see how it rings through our heart, how it applies to our life, why we would use those words to praise our God. And singing the Psalms becomes all the more powerful of a tool of sanctification as we know the struggles and strains, the wanderings and weaknesses of one another. See, if I don't know you, if I never talk to you and hear how the Lord is blessing you, how the Lord is challenging you, what is going well in your life, what is going extremely poorly in your life, we can sit in this room, we can open the Psalter, and we can sing to God, and that's that. It's no different than any other modern approach to singing and praising God, because it's just me and Jesus, and I experienced something nice and good while I was singing that song. And so that's all that matters. But when we know the struggles of our brother or sister down the pew from us, and when we sing words and we think, you know, I can take delight in these words, but this must be really hard for them to sing this today. We are challenged. And we are edified, and we are built up and encouraged in our walk of faith, understanding that it's not just about pleasing ourselves, but it's about that life together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And our goal becomes making certain that they are built up, that they are edified. Not for our own glory, not for the glory of the Trinity Church congregation, but for the glory of God. Because who else could do this in a bunch of people like us but the Almighty, living, and true God? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of our world. The King of nations. The head of his church. Stand with me as we pray. Lord, we thank you for the constant encouragement that we have received from the Apostle Paul to draw us together, to remind us that it is not just about us. It is about building up our brothers and sisters so that you might be glorified. Lord, give us the patience and the grace to pause, to spend time, to talk, but also to listen to one another, so that our church might be made better, our worship might be made better, that the glory of God might grow in this place, because we are saints who are blessed with one another. As we bear with one another, as we build up one another, that you might be glorified. Help us, O Lord, we pray in Christ's name. And church, let us pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.